This is an ABC podcast.
If there's one story at Hack we've reported on the most or the longest, I reckon it's pill testing. For years, advocates have begged for drug checking to become available to stop young people dying from toxic drugs or overdoses. This week, it's actually happening. Australia's getting its first ever pill testing site. Hey there, Ange McCormack with you for the Hack podcast, filling in for Dave Marchese today. Coming up on this episode, we're going to take you inside the clinic in Canberra. You'll find out how it works and see if the ACT could lead the way for the rest of Australia. First up, though, there's more alarm bells for the state of Australia's environment.
Hack. There's nothing in this report we don't know, but we can turn this around, but we do need action right now.
On Triple J.
Yeah, Australia's environment just got a new report card. You won't be surprised to know that things are not looking good. What's making it so bad are climate change, habitat loss, invasive species, pollution, resource extraction. The report was actually finished in December last year, but the previous government held off releasing it before the election. In a moment, we'll speak to Tanya Plibersek. She's the new Minister for Environment and Water. And we'll find out what her government is going to do about it. And we'll also check in with the ACT's brand new Senator, former Wallabies captain David Pocock. First, though, Jo Lord is here to look at what this report's telling us.
The biggest message coming out of the report is that many of the animals that we love in Australia are at risk of extinction. And that's because we're destroying their home, the places where they live. We're ripping down their forests and the trees they live in. We need to stop doing that.
That's Kelly O'Shaughnessy, the CEO of the Australian Conservation Foundation. She's talking about the State of the Environment report that was released today. Like the name says, it's a report card for how Australia's natural environment is doing. And not going to lie, it's pretty grim.
It's definitely the most alarming State of the Environment report we've ever had.
The Australian environment is broken up into 9 categories in the report, and it scores them on how they're doing at the moment and what's changed. Every category except urban environments, so 8 categories out of 9, have deteriorated since the last report. Some highlights, and by highlights I mean really shit facts basically, are that Australia has lost more mammal species than any other continent. There are now more non-native than native plant species in Australia. And during a heatwave in 2018, 33,000 flying foxes died in 2 days, just as an example. Professor Emma Johnston is one of the report's authors.
This is the first report, and this is the 6th report for Australian State of Environment. They're done every 5 years, but this is the first report where we've had to devote an entire chapter to extreme events. So it's not just wildfires. We've had droughts, floods, storms, wildfires, and marine heat waves and land heat waves, and they're all having an incredible impact across the extent of Australia.
Professor Johnston told the ABC that the Black Summer bushfires caused huge ecological damage.
The full extent of the impact of an extreme event like that won't be seen for decades, because what it's done, it's pushed species that were already threatened further towards the edge and further towards extinction. So we are predicting further extinctions over the next 10 years as a result of those fires.
The report's authors have also said that this is the first time that the report has documented climate change damaging the environment. Ewan Ritchie is a professor of ecology and conservation at Deakin Uni.
The bushfires are simply symptomatic of climate change, which is obviously a key threat for biodiversity. In the past, we used to talk about climate change as being this thing in the future that may be a problem for biodiversity. It's now happening.
But it's not just climate change causing these issues.
You know, habitat destruction and modification through land clearing, urbanisation, invasive species, pollution in terms of, you know, plastics in the ocean and so forth. So we have a whole range of threats, and we need to be addressing all of these threats.
The previous federal government actually got this report in December, but it didn't release it before the election. And today, the Environment Minister, Tanya Plibersek, was pretty blunt in blaming them for a decade of decline. But Professor Ritchie says this has been happening a lot longer than that.
Neither Labor nor the Liberal and National parties should be proud today. They have responsibility for what's occurred. And that's because, of course, government, both at state levels and federally, are responsible for some of these problems that we're seeing detailed in the State of the Environment report. So we need to move away from finger pointing.
Which brings up the question of, How the hell does this get fixed? Well, as it happens, Australia's national environmental laws were actually reviewed recently, and that review found that the laws are outdated and don't do their job of protecting the environment. Today, the Environment Minister announced that the government's going to develop new environmental laws by the end of the year. Professor Ritchie says there also needs to be more money spent on protecting and restoring the environment and helping threatened species.
We have a lot of goodwill. We have incredible expertise in Australia in terms of solving these environmental problems. What we don't have at the moment is support and investment from governments and a willingness to do so. So we're just not spending anywhere close to what's needed.
But at the moment, under these current environmental laws, when a fossil fuel project is up for approval, the impacts on the environment caused by their emissions aren't taken into account. The Australian Conservation Foundation's Kelly O'Shaughnessy says they're trying to change that.
We are taking on Woodside Scarborough gas mine because they have not assessed the climate impacts of that mine and the impacts it'll have on places like the Great Barrier Reef.
Professor Ewan Ritchie knows that reports like this are depressing and sometimes it's hard to see any positives. But he says that scientists do have a lot of solutions to these problems and there are things we can all do to help.
As individuals also, we can all make our own choices about the things that we eat, about, you know, fashion, you know, how much money we spend on fast fashion, which is really bad for the environment, how we travel, how regularly we travel, who we vote for. You know, all of these things can actually make a measurable difference to what happens to the environment. So although it is really confronting these days and these reports, we're absolutely not powerless. We can bring about positive change.
Hack Triple J. Joe Lauder reporting there. You're listening to Hack on Triple J. I'm Ange McCormack filling in for Dave Marchese today. Let's talk to the minister in charge of this. Tanya Plibersek is the new Minister for the Environment and Water. Minister, thanks so much for joining me on Triple J.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Ange.
Minister, this report couldn't be clearer. The state of Australia's environment is not good and it's getting worse. Everything from habitat loss, climate change, pollution, it's dire. You've got a new job to fix this. What's your first priority?
Well, it is a big job to fix it. And this report was actually delivered to the previous government. They just basically kept it hidden for 6 months. They didn't want to release it before the election. And when you read it, you understand why. I mean, it tells a really alarming story of environmental decline in Australia, and we've got to turn it around. I think the most important thing we're going to have to do is change the laws and the institutions that have been in place for decades that have actually led to this environmental decline. We need to be much clearer about what it is we're trying to achieve with our environmental laws, and make sure that we protect the areas, the species that we need to protect, as well as, you know, on the flip side, making faster decisions about the sort of projects that we do want to see proceed.
So on those environmental laws, I do really want to talk about them. The previous government was told they're not working, they're broken, and you know, as you've just said, you've committed to developing new ones. What do you want them to look like exactly? What will they achieve?
Well, there's a lot of consultation to be done before we come up with the sort of laws that will give us both better environmental protection and faster, clearer decision-making. But a good start is to have a look at the work that Professor Graham Samuel did for the previous government. As you said, he gave them a report a couple of years ago that had a lot of support from both environmental groups and the business community. It laid out a whole series of reforms that, in Professor Samuel's review, would, you know, give us better environmental protections. That's where we'll be starting. We'll be looking at the sort of laws that we would need that would, respect those recommendations made by Professor Samuel. We'll give it. The first stage is to formally respond to his report, and then the second stage after that is to develop new laws that we will then consult very widely on with the community, because it is important that people feel as much as possible we can get a broad cross-section of people supporting this new legislative approach. At the moment, everybody agrees that the system's broken. There's quite a bit of agreement about how to fix it. We want to build on that agreement and have a legislative agenda that will really last.
I understand you'll be doing a lot of consulting on the laws, as you said, but should these laws be changed so that the climate change impacts of fossil fuel projects and their emissions are considered when approving those projects?
Yeah. Well, Professor Samuel did have a look at that, and his view is that the emissions that are produced, for example, you know, if a coal mine is producing coal, those emissions are already covered under other laws. And as you know, when Parliament returns next week, we'll be seeking, as a new government, the Albanese Labor government will be seeking to legislate tougher emissions limits. We have a much more ambitious agenda on climate change than the previous government. We want to legislate that, those higher targets. And that'll be done in the next few weeks. And that's a really, really important first step, because this report tells us on every page that climate change is making environmental degradation worse and faster.
Yeah, and my listeners are very aware of that, and are very, you know, they know and care about climate change action, I would think more than pretty much anyone in Australia. Minister, the global advice about new coal and gas projects is very clear. If we want to fight climate change, they have to stop now. They have to have stopped yesterday, basically. As Environment Minister, will you approve any new fossil fuel projects?
Well, I can't preempt any projects that might be brought in front of me as a decision maker. In fact, the laws as they stand now, if I gave you an opinion on that, I would actually risk the whole case being overturned in the High Court. That's happened before. So I'm not going to start giving you opinions. I have to administer the law.
Can you imagine that under your government, under the Labor government, there'll be new coal and gas projects?
I'm not going to start giving you opinions. Like, this is not kind of...
So you can't rule out that there might be new coal and gas projects.
It's actually...
It's not the vibe.
I'm a minister administering the law of the nation. I'm not going to start, you know, shooting the breeze on opinions.
I understand that, but I think my listeners, you know, they see the advice coming from the IPCC, no new coal and gas projects, and, you know, they would want to know. They want me to ask the Environment Minister, will they be approved under your government?
And I've just told you that if I give you an opinion like that, my decision could be thrown out in the, you know, in the High Court. So I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to tell you is that we are a government that next week will be taking strong laws to the federal parliament. Whether they pass will be up to other political parties. We can legislate stronger action on climate change next week. I'd love to do that. I hope the crossbench and other parties agree with us.
Minister, the extent of mammal extinctions was really shocking to read. We're the worst in the world. But Australia also underspends on protecting threatened species. You know, the US, for example, spends 10 times as much as we do. What will spending on threatened species look like under your government?
Well, we've already committed an extra $1 billion to addressing threatened species. And we've also got really big commitments like the $1.2 billion we've set aside for reef restoration and repair, which, of course, also benefits threatened species. And we're working, as I said, to protect 30% of Australia's oceans, 30% of Australia's land by 2030. That's another new announcement today. Again, that's a huge benefit to threatened species. We've got a lot of great science. We've got a lot of great individual projects where either state governments in many cases or environmental organisations, philanthropists are rewilding and reintroducing threatened species into protected areas. That's great. We want to see more of that. And by changing our environmental laws and by changing some of our economic settings, I'm confident that we will.
Minister, you said this report is a wake-up call. For my listeners, it really isn't. They're wide awake to these problems. They worry deeply about the environment. And to be honest, another headline like this can feel really crushing. What do you say to young people who've run out of hope?
Well, the first thing I say to young people who care about the environment is thank you. It really matters that you are active and engaged on this, and it's important that you tell your local member of parliament how you feel and that this is an issue for you. The second thing I'd say is this report is really bad. It says that we're on the wrong path, but we're going to change that path. We're going to have stronger laws, better protections. We're working hard to restore and repair the damage that has been done. And there's great examples of that already happening. We just need to make sure that we're doing that on a scale that can turn this around. It's not going to happen overnight because the damage hasn't happened overnight. But when we set the right direction, we're going to see improvements over time.
Minister Plibersek, thanks so much for joining us on Triple J.
It's a pleasure.
Hack on Triple J.
That was Tanya Plibersek there. She's the Minister for the Environment and Water. On the Triple J text line, someone says, I've worked my whole career in the habitat restoration industry, and year after year, it's the same underfunded programs delivered by mismanaged state government departments. Well, let's go to someone else in Parliament about this. The ACT's first independent senator and former Wallabies captain, David Pocock. This is the first time we've had you on Hack with your new title. Senator Pocock, thanks for coming on.
Hey, Ange. Always good to be on Triple J.
We'll get to the report in a sec, but as this is your first time on as a senator, what are you hoping to do with your new job? What's at the top of your agenda?
Oh, there's a lot to do. I mean, coming out of the election, integrity and climate were up there, but as was housing affordability and cost of living. You know, we have to actually be pushing the government to make laws and to govern in a way that actually benefits everyday Australians. And you know, I think that applies to this latest report, the state of the environment. This is stuff that we know. We need the political will and the political courage to actually do what we need to do to deal with these challenges.
Yeah, and what was your reaction to the report when it came out this morning? What stood out to you in particular?
It's devastating, but as you said earlier, there's nothing in there that we didn't know. I guess when you see it all laid out like that, it is really sobering. And you know, one of the great things is that we know how bad it is, and we actually know what we need to do to make changes. And you know, the report repeatedly talked about the need to actually be listening to the oldest living cultures in the world that we have right here in Australia. We have to be combining First Nations people's wisdom with the latest science and technology to actually solve these problems, and then funding them and putting enough funding behind the solutions.
Yeah, it was really interesting to read that in the report and see how much of a, you know, how much prominence First Nations knowledge had this time around in the report and how many First Nations authors were on it. Senator Pocock, one of the government's first items on the agenda is legislating their new climate policy. They've got a majority in the lower house, but in the upper house, the Senate, where you are, they need your help to get the bill through. Will you be supporting it?
I've had discussions with Minister Bowen in his office. Labor have been very clear that they don't want to budge on the 43% in terms of legislating it, and they would rather just regulate it. Clearly, there's support for a more ambitious target. I support a more ambitious target. We've seen the effects of climate change. We went straight from a drought into bushfires, into flooding events.
So will you push for a higher target in the negotiations to get the bill through the Senate?
The government's been clear that they're not open to that. For me, it's ensuring that if we legislate a target, that target actually has integrity. The way that we're getting there is actually going to get us there. You know, at the moment, there's some serious questions about some of the carbon credit and offset schemes. There's a lot to sort out. And if we can legislate a target that can then be made more ambitious in a year or two, then I think that's a good start. My sense is that the community actually wants something legislated. They want something that they can hold the government to, rather than just regulating something that's at the whims of whoever's in government.
And are you confident that, you know, you said there that you hoped that it does eventually become more ambitious than 43%. Are you confident that that's possible under this government?
I really hope so. I mean, this report is just another reminder. It makes it so clear. Climate change cuts across this whole report. It's putting huge stress on the natural environment. And we know human well-being is totally linked to the health of the environment. We're part of nature. If nature goes down, we go down with it. So we have to be making the changes necessary to actually play our part in dealing with climate change and taking bold climate action, but then also looking after the environment around us.
You're listening to Hack on Triple J. I'm Ange McCormack speaking to new Senator from the ACT, David Pocock. Senator Pocock, in that interview with Minister Tanya Plibersek there, she didn't rule out new coal or gas projects being approved under a Labor government. What's your view on that? Do new coal and gas projects have a place in Australia?
Well, if you listen to scientists, you'd have to say no. The IPCC was very clear, particularly for developed countries, no new coal and gas. And you know, in you read this report, and I think it's right that there should be some sort of climate trigger for new projects, in particular new coal and gas projects, and consider the impacts of climate change on the species or the habitats that are being reviewed.
Senator Pocock, we don't have much time, but just finally, in the headlines today, it's hard to miss, you know, wildfires are raging in Europe, there's heat waves all across that continent, and lots of my listeners will have relatives or friends there. They'll be looking on, seeing that heat wave, those fires, then looking back home and reading this report. I mean, what message do you have for young people who are consuming all that and losing a lot of hope?
You know, looking at what we've been through recently and looking overseas, I think you're a functioning human being if you're anxious about the future and you're concerned, because you know there's a lot to be concerned about. For me, it's about engaging, and I think when you engage, that's certainly how I've dealt with that, and trying to be part of the solutions, pushing the government to actually do more. So I'd say to young people, rather than getting cynical and checking out, engage, get involved where you can, and be part of actually building the kind of future that we want, the kind of future that actually excites us.
Good message to end on. David Pocock, thanks so much for joining us, and hope to get you on again in your term as Senator.
Thanks, Ange. Hopefully talk soon.
That's Senator David Pocock there, but we are running out of time, so on to our next segment.
Hack, pill testing site, is going to open officially today in the ACT. It's been a long wait and a lot of hard work behind the scenes on Triple J.
At Hack, we've reported on pill testing, harm minimisation and drug-related deaths for years. It's been kind of quiet for the past few years during COVID because music festivals haven't been happening, and that's often where we see deaths from recreational drugs like MDMA, or at least coverage over them. But this week, history is being made. Australia's first ever fixed pill testing site is opening in Canberra. Anyone can rock up to get their drugs tested for free to get a better idea of the risks they'll be taking if they do take those drugs. Around the world, pill testing sites are pretty common, but this is a huge deal in Australia. So, would you use this site? Is there a time when you wish you'd had it? Text me 0439 75 7555. Claudia Long went inside the clinic today to get a sneak peek.
Everyone bags out Canberra. People say it's boring, that nothing ever happens here, but I promise something pretty groundbreaking is happening in Canberra today. Welcome to Australia's first fixed drug checking site.
I'll go through fentanyl. Sorry, I just got to get some gloves.
Canberrans are going to be able to bring pills and other substances to this clinic in the CBD to be tested from Thursday as part of a Territory Government pilot program that will go for 6 months. So how's it going to work? Well, the team kindly let Hack in the doors today to have a bit of a squiz. After you arrive at the Health Services building, you just head through to the testing clinic and fill out a quick form in the waiting room. Don't worry, you don't need an ID, and any information you hand over will be completely de-identified. You'll give over a small portion of the drug that you want to get tested, and then it'll go into the next room where it'll be looked at by a chemical analyst like Cassidy.
Hi, I'm Cassidy, and I'm a chemical analyst at Directions Health in the ACT.
Cassidy will be one of the folks testing samples from this Thursday using infrared technology.
So we can put your sample on this machine and it will run infrared through that. And it will give us a spectrum.
The spectrum shows up on a computer screen and it looks a bit like a sound wave, like that kind of squiggly shape.
So this is the infrared spectrum, and each compound will have an independent spectrum based on the atoms within that compound. And we don't really need to look at what the squiggly line is. We just need to be able to match that squiggly line to a database
of other squiggly lines.
Kind of like a game of Snap, but with higher stakes and a lot more specialist knowledge. This method does have its limits.
So this will only tell us large components, so if something's quite small, like it's been cut with something, we won't be able to pull that out. But we'll be able to tell you what your drug is if it makes up the large component of it, no matter what that drug is.
So in the same room, there's another machine called a UPRC system. And today it's being operated by chemical analyst Patrick.
But the advantage of this technique is that it can separate out the components in a mixture. So before we knew, yeah, we think there's some MDMA there, but we can't tell you if there's any little contaminants. This technique will split them out.
And they've also got a test here to detect fentanyl too, which is a super strong opioid. It's up to 100 times stronger than morphine. And sometimes it's found mixed in with other drugs when a user has no idea it's in there.
So if people are concerned about fentanyl, which is a big thing, quite a dangerous substance, can be present in quite small amounts, we have a secondary technique that we can use to look into that, and it's these fentanyl test strips. So they're kind of like a COVID rat test.
So you mix up a little solution and then you put the test strip in it.
And the advantage of these is that they're quite sensitive, so fentanyl being a very potent drug, these can detect fentanyl down to about 20 nanograms per mil. So if you have
Once the testing's done, a worker at the clinic will chat to you about what's been found in your sample. If you've got any more of it, they're not going to make you dump it, even if it's considered dangerous. But there will be an amnesty bins to chuck it out if that's what you want to do.
Also, police are actually on board with this whole thing. When you leave the facility, don't worry, cops won't be waiting outside to get you.
ACT Health Minister Rachel Stephen-Smith wants you to know that this trial isn't the Territory Government encouraging people to party heaps or do dangerous shit.
This is not a service that will tell people that the drugs they already intend to take are safe. This is about identifying whether there are substances that are unexpected in the drugs that people are already intending to take, and to provide advice to people about the harms associated with drug use and how they can reduce the harms that may occur in using drugs.
In fact, you don't even have to get a drug tested to come here. The nurses on site are able to chat with you about all manner of things, from substance use to sexual health. When it comes to drugs, this isn't the only thing the ACT is putting in place. Cannabis has already been decriminalised here, and the government has also decided to decriminalise possession of small amounts of 10 illicit drugs, including heroin and cocaine. But the legislation to make this happen is still yet to be debated. Someone who's been instrumental in seeing this centre set up is Dr. David Caldicott. He's an emergency consultant at one of the EDs here in Canberra, and he's been working on harm reduction for longer than some of us have been alive. Like, this is him back in 2003.
Concerns that you've taken a tablet and something is going wrong, or your friend has taken a tablet and something is going wrong, don't rely on the possibility that it'll all go away.
Yeah. He's been trying to get people to take harm reduction seriously for a long time.
I think one of the mythologies of drug consumption and people who use drugs is that they'll just eat whatever they're given. Nothing could be further from the truth. Young people are young people like you, and they're very concerned about their well-being.
This facility is just another step in those decades of work and collaboration with other health professionals and community activists, including two pop-up testing trials at Groove in the Moo, Canberra. Organisers said the 2019 trial potentially saved 7 lives after testing found lethal substances and people chucked their drugs away instead of taking them. David wants critics of drug checking to see how the service is more about health and science than partying.
So if they're given information about what is in their product and they're advised that if they consume that product, at the very least they may end up in hospital or worse, they have no problem giving us that product to dispose of. That's what a sensible person would do.
Hack on Triple J.
Claudia Long reporting there. So this pill testing site is only in Canberra at the moment, and at some festivals overseas, pill testing sites are really common. But if you're heading to Splendour this weekend, there won't be one there for you. And look, we don't encourage drug use, but we know it'll be happening, and we do want to talk about safe partying in general if you're heading to Splendour or any festival. Bridget Hayes is the program coordinator of DanceWise. They're all about safer partying and harm reduction. Bridget, what advice do you have for people who are going to Splendour, maybe for the first time? They might be thinking about taking drugs at the festival. What advice or tips do you have about staying safe?
Yeah, so I think some of the main things would be always drink plenty of water, eat prior, especially because some drugs or other substances may cause nausea. It's good to have a well-balanced and nourished meal before that. Making sure that you've got adequate clothing. It might be pretty hot at during the day, but it's also going to be cold at night, so making sure that you've got some comfy clothes, got things that you may need throughout the day, such as medication, in easy-to-find places, things like earplugs and sleep masks, and also making sure that you have a plan with your friends.
Hack on Triple J.
That was Bridget Hayes there. She's a program coordinator at DanceWise. Thanks so much for listening to another episode of the Hack Podcast. We'll be back with you tomorrow.